This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's the Pete Hoffman Show on WFAN.
It is 12:02 on the fan. And let me just say something that I've heard all week long about the Giants and Matt Stafford and any other quarterback that they're already interested in getting, bringing in this offseason, whether it be Russell Wilson, whether it be Derek Carr, whether it be Justin Fields, anything. The New York Giants should have learned a lesson from the New York Jets. Let's be serious. The New York Jets just showed everybody how not to run an organization, how not to throw away a good building team and then say, you know what, let's go for a home run. Let's bring in Aaron Rodgers, this old 40-year-old quarterback. It'll all work out. And poof, within two seasons, everyone's gone. The fan base is a shell of themselves. Nobody wants to see Aaron Rodgers back. Everyone wants to see Aaron Rodgers back. No one wants to see Aaron Glenn coach the team. Everyone wants to see. Listen, it is a mess of an organization. And the Giants should and hopefully have learned from their crosstown rivals in the New York Jets that you don't make the same mistake. That you don't bring in an old quarterback on a team that is not ready to win now. Because as the Jets, we're not ready to win now, no matter what anybody wants to say, they weren't. They won 12 games in 2 years with Aaron Rodgers around. So the team was not a must-win team right now. They weren't a win-now team. The Giants are clearly not a win-now team. So why are we sitting here discussing Matt Stafford? Why are we sitting here talking about Russell Wilson? I understand that the approach is, okay, well, let's try to bring somebody in here to prove that our offense can work. But what are we doing? Aren't we going backwards? Aren't we saying, hey, these guys are kind of almost washed up? Like Russell Wilson, the reason why he worked out with Pittsburgh is because he got benched the first six games of the season until Mike Tomlin was like, all right, are you going to do what I tell you to do? Okay, great. Thank you. Who's to say he's going to do that here? Russell Wilson is going to be a headache. Matt Stafford, do you think he wants to come to a team that's not ready to win? The Giants are not ready to win. They're just not. They're in a rebuild mode. That's just what it is. So you're going to go and get Matthew Stafford to come to the New York Giants for what? For what? A team that defensively was a little weak at times, and offensively we could see all the issues that they continuously have. And the main thing is, yes, they don't have a quarterback, but you're going to go out there and bring in an old quarterback again in Matthew Stafford, who's on the tail end of his career for, what, 1-2 years? Now, the only way that you can convince me this is going to work is if you're going to draft a quarterback, whether it's at 3 with a 3rd overall pick, maybe it's in the 2nd round, but you cannot go in there and think that Matthew Stafford is going to be the quarterback for the next few years and bring us to the playoffs, and then, you know, we'll see what else happens. The only way that this will work is to go in there with the mindset of, I am going to bring in a veteran quarterback and bring in the replacement quarterback at the same time so they can learn and actually hopefully accomplish what, you know, Zach Wilson was supposed to do, which was learn under Aaron Rodgers, which never happened because Rodgers got hurt before he couldn't learn anything. And he just had to play a season in replacement. So maybe if you tell me that, I guess I could buy into it. But if we are going into a season, the New York Giants are going into a season and saying, you know what, Matthew Stafford looking to get out of contract with the Rams or looking to move. The Rams are looking to move on from him. Let's give up some draft capital to bring in Matthew Stafford. I think we're just walking into the same mistake that we've done before. If we're looking to bring in Russell Wilson on whatever type of deal it's going to be, who knows what Russell Wilson's going to look for free agency, can't be anything too expensive. You can't put in a ton of money into Russell Wilson. You just can't do it. You can't. And the Giants have a ton of money that's going to be available with the salary cap, but you can't do it. You can't put yourself in that situation where you're literally going to bring in a quarterback like Russell Wilson, who you know how he is. You know that he can be a prima donna at times. You can't bring him in and expect him to change within a year or two with Dable. And the one thing that I really don't want to see, and maybe this is just being selfish because I think the key to success is kind of sustaining the coaching staff and the GM and just continuously, you know, building and having them here long term. Well, if you're Coach Dable, if you're Joe Shane, you're putting all your eggs in a quarterback basket that if it fails, you fail. And that is not what the Giants need. That's not what the organization needs. The organization needs to build success. They need to build a sustained success. But in order to do that, you can't take a risk like that. Because if it fails, then we start from scratch again. And I don't know about you, but for me, I'm sick and tired of the merry-go-round with the coaching staffs. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the constant movement of GM and coach, GM and coach. I understand that we expect winning teams immediately. We want to win immediately. And if it doesn't happen quick enough, it doesn't happen the way we want to happen, we ask for everyone to fire the coaches and to fire the GMs, and I get it. This is a business that within 2 years, it's sometimes the lifespan here. Okay, but it's not working that way. Since Tom Coughlin, I mean, let's see, go down the gauntlet of coaching staffs that the Giants have had. Go down the list of coaches that they've had. McAdoo, Shermer, Joe Judge. Just continuous names that have built up in and out, and they don't work. And then it's like, okay, what are we doing? What we continuously go in a circle. Well, try to build some level of stability. Try to. And I understand that the past few years have not gone the way that John Mara or anybody in the Giants organization have wanted to go. Let's be serious. I understand the first year was great. You go to the playoffs. But the next 2 years, going backwards. But now, you have an opportunity to go forward. And again, you look at the quarterbacks that they're talking about, and it scares me because I just saw this with the Jets. And the one thing I said over and over and over was, if the Jets go for Aaron Rodgers, that will be the dumbest move in the world. You know the writing on the wall is failure. You know that Joe Douglas is going to lose his job. You know that Robert Saleh is going to lose his job. You know that everyone's going to lose their jobs. And that's exactly what happened. Exactly. So I beg the Giants to please, 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 please be smarter. Take a look cross town. Just take a look and try not to make the same mistake. 888-808-1019. It's Pete Hoffman with you on the Fan. Till 5 a.m. when Richard Neer takes over. You can always hit me up at Hoff WFAN on social media. And if you miss anything at all throughout the morning, if you miss anything yesterday on the Fan, whether it was BT and Sal, Boomer and Gio, Evan and Tiki, even Pat Boyle who was on before me, you just download the Odyssey app. You hit the rewind button, and you can go back and listen to whatever you want to listen to, in case you missed something. Because you probably did, you probably didn't. You probably want to go back. Especially yesterday was a beautiful day. It was Valentine's Day, so I'm sure that we all had sweet messages for you, or some people had sweet messages for you, or some people had bad advice, which I'm sure Pat Boyle gave a lot of it. But that being said, if you missed anything at all, just again download the Odyssey app and hit the rewind button. But again, we're leading with the Giants and Matt Stafford, and whether it's Matt Stafford, whether it's Russell Wilson, Derek Carr. And now listen, I'm a Derek Carr guy. I like Derek Carr. I've been promoting Derek Carr for a long time. I thought the Jets should go for Derek Carr, over Aaron Rodgers. But again, I don't know. If you're not going to combine, if the Giants aren't going to combine a quarterback, a veteran quarterback, with a draft pick, with drafting a quarterback, then we're doing it wrong. If we don't have a plan after the draft, after this year, then we're doing it wrong. That was always my gripe with the Jets. It was, okay, you're going for a home run this year. Aaron Rodgers is already 40 years old. Now, listen, Stafford is younger. Russell Wilson's a little bit younger. These quarterbacks are a little bit younger. But still, how much life do they really have left? Once they are done, what is the next step? And I understand that most people are like, well, what about this year? We got to play for this year. We have to win this year. But tell yourself that you have a team that can win this year. Do you really think you do? I think that most people will say that the Giants have a tough schedule. First of all, before you even talk about the roster, you just look at the schedule. It's one of the toughest schedules in the league. So, right off the bat, you're up against it. And then, just recently, not to be overcritical, but the team hasn't been that good. And it's not, being overly critical when you come back with 3 wins this past year. It is what it is. 3 wins. That's not good. Are you a quarterback away from making the playoffs? Are you a quarterback away from going to the Super Bowl? I mean, at least that's what the Jets were saying. Oh, we are a Super Bowl team. We are a Super Bowl team. We are ready. Giants aren't ready. The Giants are not ready. And to bring them in, to bring in a guy like Matt Stafford, to bring in Russell Wilson, you're really talking about a quarterback that might come in for a year or two max and then be gone. And then what? Back to square one. Doesn't sound like a great plan, in my opinion. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. That's the number to get on the phones. Again, we are leading with Matt Stafford and the New York Giants. And just personally speaking, I just don't think that this is the way to go when it comes down to the Giants and quarterback approach. I really don't, whether it's Stafford, whether it's Russell Wilson, I don't think the veteran is the way to go. I don't. Now, listen, I'm not sitting here saying that the rookies go draft Shedeur Sanders at three, go draft Cam Ward at three. I don't like that approach either. I don't think either of those quarterbacks are going to be great. I don't. But I can live with somebody else that, you know, is a stopgap. I can live with a Sam Darnold. Take an experiment. Maybe, listen, maybe he figures something out in Minnesota. I can go that route. I can't go the old veteran who's got a year or two left. 888-808-1019. It's the number to call. Hit me up at HoffWFN. We'll talk more about Matt Stafford. We will get into a bunch. Obviously, spring training. Marcus Stroman showed up yesterday. And, you know, obviously, like Marcus Stroman does, he's a lightning rod. So he had some comments, and it bothered some people. To other people, you know, it's not the end of the world, like Brian Cashman said. We will get into that. We'll get into other spring training stuff with the Mets. We will get into some hockey, I guess, too. Why not? Because what the heck are they doing right now? While nobody's playing games, why not put together a, you know, a four-team tournament? And we'll also get into some basketball as well. 888-808-1019. It's Pete Hoffman with you on the Fan. Hit me up at Hoff, WFAN. 888-808-1019. That's 888-808-1019. Pete off with you on the Fan till 5 a.m. when Richard here takes over. Again, you could always hit me up at Hoff, WFAN. And we started out with Matt Stafford, who I keep on hearing all these things. Like, you know, this is perfect. You know, the Rams are looking to maybe get rid of him. It'll only take a couple draft picks to pick up Matt Stafford. And I'm sitting there going, This is exactly what you don't want to do. This is the opposite of what you want to do, is give up draft, you know, capital so you can go for a Hail Mary that you're not really ready for. That's not what you want to do. And I love Joe Shane last year, how he handled the draft. I'd prefer to see him draft players and not go out and give away his picks to see for, you know, an older quarterback. Now, listen, I've heard stories. You know, you hear Cooper Kupp's going to be on the block. You know, you hear T. Higgins is going to be available. There's all these wide receivers that are going to be available through trade, through free agency. Okay, I'm down to get free agency. Like, I'm down to go free agent route. You want to go free agent? Let's freaking go. But I just do not want, especially because you got the cap, you got the money, you got the salary cap, you got $50 million at least to play with. I don't want to go and give up draft capital who, again, no guarantees here. No guarantees that you're going to get the right pick, that you're going to make the right play. But after last year's draft class, I am much, much happier with Joe Shane and company drafting players than going and giving up draft picks for an older veteran quarterback who's got maybe a couple of years left in the tank tops. Like, I don't want to do it. 888-808-1019. Let's get to your phone calls. Jeff is in Woodbridge. What's up, Jeff? How we doing?
What's up, Hoff? How you doing, man?
I'm good.
You know, listen, I agree with essentially everything you said, and I don't think anything you said is wrong, but I hate to say it, I think the Giants are going to be forced to take Matthew Stafford because, number one, you're looking at a lame duck head coach and GM that if they don't show drastic improvement this year, those guys are done and they're out. And I think they know that. And also, I think the owner was just so humiliated by the product that the team put on the field last year that he's going to want to show major improvement. And the only guy in free agency or via trade to get is Stafford that can at least give the Giants a few more wins than they had last year, in my opinion.
And I won't disagree with you. Like, Stafford is a good quarterback. Matthew Stafford will make the Giants better. But how many more wins are we talking about with Matthew Stafford and the Giants? What are we talking about here? Are we talking about playoffs?
Yeah, to be honest, I don't think playoffs is even – the team is not good enough to make the playoffs. I think the peak – with the schedule that they have is 8 wins. And I think if they get lucky, to be honest with you. But I think if you get Stafford, you show 7-8 wins, maybe you can get a couple pieces. Listen, I don't think it's a great option, but I think it's the option they're going to go being in the situation that they're in.
Yeah, and the problem with that is you think it's a great, it's the best option they have right now. And here's the thing is, if that's the best option is to give up draft capital to bring in an older quarterback. How about go just bring in Sam Darnold? You know, I believe Justin Fields is going to be a free agent, right? Isn't he going to be available? Like, I would go those guys free agent-wise and, you know, sign them to like a 1-2 year deal. You know, I'm sure there'll be somebody that's available that, you know, not saying I want Kirk Cousins. I don't think he's worth it. But, again, there's somebody that at least cheap that you don't have to go up and give up a ton for. Because here's the other aspect of it. Like you said, that Matt Stafford is not going to get them to the playoffs. They're not a win now team. They'll just help, you know, win some more games so it takes them out of like the top seed next year with the overall draft pick. And to me, like, what's worse, giving up draft picks this year and next year potentially to bring in an old quarterback? And then move you up, like move you out of a top pick next year. It's like we're going backwards again.
Yeah, I mean, ideally, the best course of action would be to absolutely tank this year, try to get another top one or two or three pick. Hopefully, get Arch Manning or somebody along those lines, whoever comes out of the quarterback class next year, and then get one of those studs. Because the two guys this year, I don't think are going to be franchise quarterbacks. So
no.
Quarterback this year, I don't think is the right route. You know, ideally, I think defensively, that defensive tackle from Michigan would be great, or a big corner. Well, I'd like to see him go defensive end, but we'll see.
Travis Hunter's out there. I mean, right? Isn't that who we're talking about? Like, I mean, he's out there, Jeff. Thanks so much for the phone call. Whoops, sorry, didn't mean to hang up on you. But I mean, he's out there. I mean, if you're talking about Tennessee going for a quarterback, if we're talking about who's in front of them, I'm forgetting who's in front of them right now. But they need a quarterback as well because Cleveland is in front of them because Deshaun Watson now is going to be out next year. So they're probably going to draft a quarterback too. You're talking about two teams in front of them that are going to draft quarterbacks most likely. I mean, you're going to fall into a pick that is actually beneficial, builds up the defense, which is something that was an issue last year. I mean, I don't want to see them give up any picks for an old-time quarterback. I just don't want to do that. You learned a lesson from the Jets with Aaron Rodgers. You learned a lesson. Take that lesson and run with it. Kenny is in the Bronx. What's going on, Kenny?
Oh, hi, Pete. Well, the Browns have been drafting quarterbacks in the first round for the last 20 years, and they've all been flops. And I don't see the Giants. The season, the team has too many needs. And to just say, oh, we're going to draft a quarterback and it's going to change the situation. I agree with the last caller, the last of Go Buchanan.
I knew it. I knew it from the start. I knew it. He gets in super early now. Jeez. Mr. Buchanan, yeah. But I will tell you this much. The one thing that is a reality, we talked about Cleveland always drafting quarterbacks and always failing with their quarterbacks. The only quarterback that they actually picked properly was Baker Mayfield. And really, just because you have an opportunity to draft a quarterback doesn't mean you should do it because it doesn't always work out. And I understand. So you're in a rock and a hard place. You're at a point where you need a quarterback. You want to try to win games. And I get that. You do want to try to win games here. We're not trying to tank. I know Jeff Pryor said, hey, you know, let's go and you know, just the ideal is to tank and then get a number one choice the next year and then get one of those quarterbacks. You don't want to go into a season tanking. I'm not saying that. But reality sets in and says the Giants right now, now listen, the offseason hasn't started yet, so who knows what type. But right now, you look on paper, they are not at a level to be in the playoffs. They're just not. And that's because of what they've done the past 2 years. They have not performed well enough on the field. And that's really all that matters. is what they do on the field. You could sit there and prepare and during practice and have great game plays and game plans going into a game. But on the field, in the game, if they are not performing at a high level, if they're, you know, not, if they are consistently, you know, giving up huge plays, giving up huge chunk yards on defense, if they're making dumb penalties consistently, which happened many, many times, every big play that the Giants made on defense or offense, it always felt like they got turned around because of a penalty. And that's on discipline there, you know? And it's funny, it's a conversation that I had with someone during the season was actually, and I'll tell you, it happened on air for the radio broadcast with the Giants. It was Howard Cross. He asked the question because Bob Papa and Carl Banks were critical about the fact that there was no discipline and towards the end of the season. In every game, it always felt like even when the Giants had a chance to make a stop or make a play or whatever it was, whether it's someone's jumping off sides, whether someone's getting a face mask, whether someone's, you know, headhunting or roughing a passer, there's always something that happens in a big moment that either continues the drive for the opposition or kills the drive for the Giants. Just, it's always happening. And they said that it felt like there was no accountability. And Howard Cross brought up a good point. A couple of years ago when Brian Daboll came in, what was the one thing he did? The first game with Daniel Jones. After a pick, he got in his grill. He made it accountable. He said, dude, do not do that again. Whatever you do, don't throw a pick. He got in his face and made his point. And it seemed to last the whole season. And they got to the playoffs. And then the next year wasn't as good of a year. Team definitely did not play as well. And what happened? A lot of complaints. Brian Daboll's too tough on people. Brian Daboll's got an issue. He better be careful because he may lose his job if he treats his players this way. If he, you know, if he yells too much. Look at him in Wink Martindale. Maybe he's got an issue. Oh, really? So, and the point that Howard Cross made was, if one year he's too hard on his players, the next year he's not hard enough, well, which one is it? So make up your mind. Do you want him to be tough on his players? Because if so, then you got to give him a pass when he is, and don't say he's too tough. But then if you say that he's got a problem and he's got too much of an attitude and he gets in the players' faces too much and he, you know, whatever the case is, then don't complain either when they're making bad penalties and taking bad penalties and no one's being held accountable. Because you can't do both. You can't coddle your players and say, oh, you'll get them next time. Don't do that again. It'll be fine. Just don't do that again. No, you got. Sometimes it takes a little tougher action. It really does. 888-808-1019. And I like Daboll. I think he's a good coach. I think that he'll get it right. I think that the first year was perfect. But I don't know. I don't know what Joe Shane has in store right now. And again, the quarterback does have something to do with it, but I do not want to see the Giants make the same mistake the Jets made. And let's be serious here. The Jets put themselves in a bad situation right now where now they've cut, or they will be cutting Aaron Rodgers at some point in time. And who are they bringing in? Who are the Jets bringing in at quarterback? They're not bringing in Matt Stafford. They're not bringing in Russell Wilson. Who are the Jets going to bring in? They're back to square one again with a team that was supposed to be ready to win now. Now, I do like the fact that Aaron Glenn has taken over and taken charge and is able to, you know, make the moves necessary to have a good you know, leg to stand on when he first opens that door to his team. Like, the worst thing that you could do is have Aaron Rodgers around and have him dictate everything. But we'll get to that a little bit later. But I at least for the Jets' sake, that is a good move that they've at least cut the fat with Aaron Rodgers. And again, I have a ton to say about him. We'll get to him at 1 o'clock. All right, 888-808-1019. Take more of your phone calls on the Giants, on what the Giants are going to do this year going into the fourth year of Brian Daboll and Joe Shane. Rumors are Matt Stafford looks good, Russell Wilson looks good, Derek Carr looks good. And I think those, though I do like Stafford, I do like Carr, I just don't think that's the move for the Giants to make. All right, 888-808-1019. It's the number to call. You can always hit me up at Hoff, WFAN. 888-808-1019. That is the number to call. And yes, it's post-Valentine's Day. So I've seen pictures actually right now floating around online of Boomer Esiason handing out Valentine's Day gifts to polar bears for Valentine's Day. I don't know why, but it's on the internet, so maybe that's real. Who knows? I hope everyone had a great day. If you celebrate, if you don't, congratulations, good for you. My wife and I, we spent about 3 or 4 hours together. We maybe took a break for about 10 minutes, but we had a very, and the funny thing is that we didn't even finish what we were doing. We worked on a puzzle. Amazing. A puzzle. That's what we chose to do last night. And I got to be honest with you, I was very happy with it. I was very happy with the fact that I didn't have to go out. I didn't have to do anything. I just stayed home, relaxed. I actually enjoyed myself. There was nothing really to watch on TV. There was no games. There was no nothing. So I shut my phone off. I just hung out with my wife, and we actually had a really good time. Now, listen. Was the puzzle the reason why we had a good time? No. But we were able to socialize. We were able to just relax and be with each other, which was very nice. In a world that, you know, we do 1,000 things. We're always doing something. I was able to take a few hours and just kind of just chill, which was kind of nice for a change. Now, Jack, I don't know what you did. If you did anything at all, did you?
No, I didn't do anything today.
Smart. That is the dream, is not to do anything.
Yeah, no. Went for a walk earlier today. It was a little cooler out, but I went out for a walk, and then that was it.
So, well, listen. So let's be serious here. I think most people know that I said it on air a couple times, and BT and Sal referenced it a few times too. So my wife's birthday is the day before Valentine's Day, so I get the double whammy, right?
Ooh,
so
yeah.
I have to go out, and listen, it's not have to, I want to, but the pressure is on because you have multiple days that you could screw up. You know, you screw up one day, okay, it's not the end of the world. You can make something up in the future for the next thing that comes around. But when it's back-to-back, like if you mess up the first day, you got to get it right the next day. And if you don't, or in the first day, if you go overboard, the next day it's like whatever I do is not good enough, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of almost how I feel. So it's like a weird situation. But regardless, I do my best. I've done okay so far in life with my wife, Nicole, which is fantastic. But the best is not doing anything. That is my, like when people ask me what I want to do for like my birthdays or whatnot, my thing is nothing. I don't want to do anything. I just want to relax.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, yeah. It's funny, back to back, like your wife's birthday and then like Valentine's Day is the next day. There is a lot of pressure with that. Because it's funny, too, because he's like, if you mess up one day, like, if you mess up her birthday, she could still be in a bad mood Valentine's Day.
And yeah,
like,
even if I make Valentine's Day great, yeah. I still screw up the day
she's
before.
Still like, she's like, well, she could still remind you, like, well, you know, you messed up yesterday. But if you redeem yourself, that's true.
I mean, I hope, but I don't know. Right. But listen, I find ways to screw up the simplest things, so you never know.
Yeah.
So, but I did okay this time around. Again, I made it to work.
You did.
I'm not in trouble. I feel good. That's a win. That is a win. But listen, and it, whatever. It, listen, I'm sure that everyone had a good. I'm sure that people, you know, spoil their partners or whatever the case is. I'm sure that that's what you do, or you're supposed to do. I'm sure there's other people that forgot about it. So there's you know, we are all not perfect. I hope, regardless, you survived and had a good time as best as possible. We did a puzzle. That's what we did. And I got to be honest, I relaxed. We didn't finish the puzzle, but we were close. It was 750 pieces. I thought I would be able to do that in like 2 hours. That's not reality. I haven't done a puzzle in a very long time since I was like, you know, 10, 11, 12 years old maybe. It's been a long time since I've done something. And then to have 750 pieces, it's not as easy as you think. But we'll get there. I think I might finish it tomorrow now because now I'm obsessed. Now I have to finish it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. What kind of puzzle was it?
Well, if you know my family, it's a Disney puzzle.
Oh, okay.
It is what it is. Yeah, everything is Disney. So some like random, you know, Mickey and Minnie are on a beach and Goofy is like surfboarding and Donald and Daisy are sitting there like building a sandcastle. It's whatever this weird, it's some random setting.
Yeah.
But of course, it's Disney. So.
Right. Oh, all right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, no, that's a fun puzzle to do.
Oh, it's great. It's wonderful. But no, I won't lie. I actually had a good time doing it because, I'm telling you right now, too. If you haven't had kids yet, if and when you do, the best part is when they start to get Legos, because building the Legos is one of the more therapeutic things I've ever done. Again, I have two stepkids as well. So when I first met my wife and they were in those ages of just getting like these huge, you know, Lego sets, building Ghostbuster cars and whatever the hell they had. You know, I had to build a wrestling set one day because that was brought over. And I'm like, okay, cool, let's do it. And it may take an hour or two, depending on how many pieces it is, but it feels so good to finish that thing. When I was young, I never finished crap. I never got through. Maybe I'd finish like, you know, page like 4, and then you can't find a piece. You get tired. You move on, and you don't finish it.
Right.
And then it's like that for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
No, man. I'm finishing. I'm getting it done.
Yeah, no, it's I was the same way. When I had Legos, I would be like, you get to page 2 and you're like, all right, like, I don't know where this piece is. I can't find it. You just get frustrated and you walk away.
Right. And the worst is the pieces are like so close to like looking like each other. Like, there's some clear pieces that kind of look gray for some reason. And you're like, okay, well, I'm looking at a gray piece, but there's no gray piece. Oh, that was supposed to be clear? I didn't realize that. Then the orange piece kind of looks red. Listen, it's not a perfect system either with Legos.
No, it's not. Definitely not.
No. And it's also not a perfect system in the NFL, which is kind of what we started off with. 888-808-1019. It's never easy. It's never easy till it gets easy. Like, once you're the Chiefs, once you're the Ravens, once you're one of these teams, the Buffalo Bills at this point in time, once you're one of these teams that just finds a way to build right, to build a team and just be consistent, then you're there. But to get there is the most important thing. And there's some teams, there's some franchises just can't figure it out. And, you know, obviously the Jets are one that can't figure it out. The Browns, we've talked about all the time, can't figure it out. And unfortunately, the Giants are at this point now where the past 2 years they've kind of felt fallen off after having that successful season that they've got to the playoffs, which was nice. They also have had a good history. Like, if you think about in recent history, it hasn't been great. But overall, like, they've won Super Bowls. It's not like the Giants haven't been to the Super Bowl, haven't won Super Bowls. Like, the Jets haven't been to the Super Bowl since 69. I mean, that is a long time. That's called a bad franchise. A team that can't get back to the Super Bowl after winning it in 1969. There's teams that, like, you know, the Panthers have been to the Super Bowl twice. They didn't win it, but they've only been in existence for, what, how many years? 25 years, maybe? 30 years? But they've been to it twice. So, I mean, you've got to understand, like, there's certain teams that just cannot get out of their own way. The Giants seem to be right now in a spot where they are thinking about getting in their own way, and I prefer them not to do that. Like, it hurts me to watch teams and watch franchises get in their own way. That's all teams do. That's all teams do these days. The Jets are like the perfect model to show you what not to do. Now, I was going to get into it at one, but I might as well get into it now. I am happy of how the Jets are handling things. Like, I wasn't happy that they chose to go the Aaron Glenn route at first because I really wanted Bill Belichick. I really wanted a veteran coach who was going to come in here for a couple years and be able to at least put the right dynamic in here, change the feel, change the culture, be able to really bring their experience, bring your expertise. That's where you need a veteran. That's kind of like the Bill Parcells route. Like when he went to the Jets, when he went to the Dolphins, he went to some of those teams back in the day. It was after his success, after Super Bowl runs. But at least he had that experience to kind of like settle down the franchise a little bit. Like, hey, this is what you should do. Let's try to build a team this way. That's why I really was excited about a Bill Belichick. That was excited about, like, I wasn't saying that I was high on Pete Carroll, thought they was going to come to the Jets, but was more open to that than a young coach. But they chose to go that direction. And from the get-go, the one thing I was worried about was, how are they going to handle the Aaron Rodgers situation? And they did it perfectly. They said, get lost. And I know a lot of people are complaining that the fact is, well, Aaron Rodgers gives them the best chance to win. They haven't won a thing with him. In the 2 years he's been here, I understand he got hurt the first season. I understand that the best moment he gave the Jets fans is running out of the tunnel in game one of his tenure with the Jets, holding the flag on 9/11. That was a moment, but that was it. That was all Aaron Rodgers has brought the Jets and the Jets fans. That's it. So when you say, oh, well, Aaron Rodgers gives us the best chance to win, that's false. He's been here. He has not given you anything, any signs of winning. It's been the opposite. And for the Jets to, you know, be able to cut ties with him, whether it's going to be, you know, still a chunk of change that they have to give up or you know, of dead cap money, whatever. Yeah, it sucks. But at least they can move on and give Aaron Glenn a good start. I don't care what anybody says. You can tell me how great of a teammate Aaron Rodgers is. How many players are upset that Aaron Rodgers is gone? Let me tell you something. Everything that comes out about Aaron Rodgers, I feel like is false. Everything that, you know, listen, now, I won't lie. There's some reporters that come out and are very anti-Aaron Rodgers, and I don't really know how true that stuff is either. But I will say this much. Aaron Rodgers, the past few years in Green Bay and with the Jets, there are a few things that stick out that don't rub me the right way. A, he's not good on as good on the field anymore as he once was. B, the off-the-field stuff is a problem. He causes a lot of commotion and chaos. And I don't care what anybody says. If you think that Aaron Rodgers didn't have anything to do with Saleh getting fired, with Douglas getting fired, with certain people getting fired or potentially getting fired, you're just crazy. Like, Aaron Rodgers, I think, is a great teammate to your face. But behind closed doors, he's probably a different person. And now, not saying that the owner and the GM and the other staff members and coaches, that they don't want to portray him as a good guy because, you know, to their face, he's a good guy. But there could be two things, and they could both be right, that in front of his teammates, he could be the best teammate in the world. And then also behind closed doors, he could be like, this ain't working. And that might never get out because he handles it in a way that is, you know, it doesn't get out. And we already know, too, by the way, he has no problem throwing people under the bus when he needs to. Like, Mike Williams got thrown under the bus last year. He had no problem with that. So, in certain moments, you know he could be a backstabber if needed. So, I'm not one to sit here and say, you know, Aaron Rodgers really is a great teammate. He's the perfect guy. And he's not... The Jets should have kept him because, A, yeah, he can still play quarterback. There's really no one else to bring in here. And, oh, by the way, you know, the teammates love him. And he'll make it smooth for Aaron Glenn. He'll make it smooth for everybody. Whether or not there was a conversation about, hey, you know, we really don't want you to be on Pat McAfee, which I wish there was. I actually hope there was. I hope that they told him, hey, we don't want you to go on Pat McAfee anymore. And I kind of assume that if that conversation happened, he'd probably say, well, I'm going to do what I want to do. The same way he went on vacation last year in a time where they kind of didn't want him to go. He does what he wants. He's Aaron Rodgers. He does what he wants. You can't have that on a team with a new coach. You just can't. So I'm happy that they got rid of Aaron Rodgers. I wasn't happy that they got him to begin with. You go back to anything on record from me, I not once was supportive of Aaron Rodgers coming to the Jets. I just knew that this was going to happen. I knew how it was going to play out. I knew it wasn't going to work out. I didn't know he was going to get hurt right away, but I knew it wasn't going to work. I knew that basically they were going to have a clean slate with the entire staff. And that's what they did. It sucks. But that's what they had to do because they took a chance and it backfired again. Same way that happened with Brett Favre. They tried it again with Aaron Rodgers and it didn't work. It did not work. 888-808-1019. But I'm happy that Glenn has that opportunity now and that him and Muji can go and build a team the way they need to build a team. And they can, listen, I still don't agree with the fact that Woody Johnson is the final say in everything, that he has to sit there and listen to both the GM and the head coach, give them, you know, their opinion on things separately. Like, to me, really, the head coach should go through the GM. And the GM should report back to Woody. But it's how Woody runs things. It's GM, head coach, you come to me. You don't have to talk to each other. You come to me. And I'll make the decisions. I kind of hate that. I kind of hate the fact that Woody has so much power. I don't know he owns a team. I'm not stupid. I know he owns a team. But can you run the team? I don't think he can handle it. Like, Woody has not been able to figure out how to run the Jets over the past 14 years. So why do you think it's a good idea to hire a head coach, then hire the GM, and then tell both of them, oh, by the way, you both report to me. I get the final say. It just feels like it's another dead end. It doesn't feel like the way you run a company. It doesn't feel like the way you run a business where it's like, hey, the head coach is going to help me pick the person who may have to fire him at some point in time. But to be fair, I'm not going to let this guy fire him because I'm going to be the guy who gives the final say, which he was with Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh. So 888-808-1019, that's the number to call. We will get into, we'll bring up some spring training stuff, the Marcus Stroman stuff. He's back. He is back. And the one thing I will say, Marcus Stroman gets a bad rap for a lot of stuff off the field. You can never question his character and his fight. And he is more of an asset to the Yankees than people give him credit for. We'll talk about that more. 888-808-1019. You can always hit me up at HoffWFAM.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.